Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We've worked really hard for this. You know, quite honestly, opening the season, nobody expected us to do this, but, you know, we didn't really listen to that. We just came out there and put a lot of games together, and we've lost a few tough ones, but we've also won some big ones, so this team deserves it.
It's Bo Nix. Is he Beauregard Nix?
I was just looking to see if he has a nickname on Pro Football Reference. He does not.
He does not, okay.
His middle name is Chapman.
Bo Chapman Nix.
Finished third in Heisman voting in 2023. We make the jokes about how long he played in college football. He really has only played college football since 2019.
Yeah. He's from Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
He had 2,000 attempts in college almost.
Arkadelphia. Yep. Pinson Valley, Alabama.
Let's see. Anything interesting? No, Auburn was never good when he was there.
No, his best season, they were 9-4.
His best season was absolutely with Oregon.
45 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah.
In his final college season.
Insane.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Chatting about Bills Broncos, among other things. Sabres won last night in a shootout. They beat Washington. No Ovechkin goal. I was disappointed. Yeah. Is it wrong to be disappointed?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
It's wrong?
No, I'm sorry. Okay. It isn't. Yeah. In that, like, the Sabre season's pretty much over, and that record is the coolest thing in hockey right now. And by the way, if you do the math of it, he is on pace to break the record on Thursday, March 20th at home against Philadelphia. He plays the Sabres on March 30th. Excuse me, Philly on March 20th. The Sabre game is March 30th. The Sabre game is sandwiched between 4 road games. 2 before, 2 after.
Hmm. And then they're in Washington?
Against the Sabres. So maybe they would work to get him the goal there? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like they'll work to get him the goal whenever. He was out there in overtime. Had a chance.
Yep.
All right. To the Western Hotline. Benjamin Albright joins us to talk a little bit about the Broncos here as we're getting ready for Bills Broncos and reporter and Broncos insider K-Way Colorado. Benjamin, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking some time. Should Bills fans be nervous about this Denver team?
I think nervous would be okay, but appropriately nervous. I mean, you are the number 2 seed for a reason. You know, I think you think back to just last year, Denver came out there to Buffalo and won the game. So I think there should be an appropriate nervousness. That said, a little bit different team this year. You get the rookie quarterback and the defense is vastly improved, but the run game has sort of disappeared. So I think the Broncos, you know, that line started 8.5. I think the Broncos can cover that. I'm not sure about winning this game.
Yeah. We just talked last segment quite a bit about Riley Moss. And, you know, this Denver defense has a lot of big-time players, and Patrick Surtain is basically a do-not-throw-it-at-him kind of guy. When you look at the total of the Broncos defense, strengths, weaknesses, is Riley Moss a spot that teams, not just the Bengals, but other teams have been trying to pick on a bit, or is it just because he's not Surtain, and that's basically what the job is when you are the guy on the other side?
It's a lot more the latter. I mean, Riley Moss, especially before the injury this year, was absolutely phenomenal. But teams just threw at him because he wasn't Pat Surtain and he wasn't Jaquan McMillan, who plays in the slot and is very good in his own right. And so that's sort of the area that people sort of threw at. I would say post-injury, he struggled a little bit coming back the last couple of weeks. Now, this last game was against the Chiefs backup, so I wouldn't take anything from it. But, overall, he sort of struggled a little bit since coming back from that injury. The other weak spot in that secondary would be P.J. Locke, the other safety. Brandon Jones has been a bit of a revelation, but Locke has struggled at times. And, you know, Moss and Locke are often on the same side of the field together based on the way the Broncos play defense. So that's sort of the area that's the weak spot of this defense, if there is one.
Benjamin Albright with us on the Western Hotline at Albright NFL to follow him on social media. Nix, the numbers this year, we've seen him especially in the standalone games Denver's had, and he's looked very impressive throughout much of the year. In terms of him being a rookie, He's an older rookie. That joke's always made, right? And then you look at the numbers. Like, is he well-polished as a rookie for a game like this?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he is an older rookie. I mean, the joke coming out was that the pre-draft meal they had with him was a dinner at 3 a.m. at the Bob Evans. You know, he's that old. He had to get up to mall walk. But no, I'm kidding. He's just more polished because he's older. He's more mature. He's a sharp guy. You don't see him make the same mistake very often, which is nice. You know, there are things about the numbers that don't necessarily match up with his game. I think he's a lot closer to maybe a Derek Carr than anything else. Doesn't take a lot of negative plays, doesn't take sacks, doesn't turn it over very often. And that's sort of the key to keeping this offense on schedule. And that really has been the key, you know, kind of all year. Last year, Russell Wilson was such a high variance guy. You know, you're taking sacks, but you had tons of big plays. You'd be sluggish at times, and then you'd have the fourth quarter comebacks and all that. Bo is just what I call steady Eddie. You know, it's a lot of high efficiency type stuff, keeping the thing on schedule, and at the end of the drive, you come away with points.
How much did his running come out of nowhere, or was that kind of expected that he could be someone that has been running the way he has, where gets over 400 yards, and when a play breaks down, I mean, he's not quite, you know, of course, like the Allens or the Jacksons of the world, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't come out of nowhere if you know, you're watching him at college, especially at Auburn, before he got to Oregon, where he really ran a lot. He's about a 4.6, 4.6 and a half, 40 guy. The long speed isn't, you know, what you call like Lamar Jackson elite, but that first step is quick. And that's the thing. His 10-yard splits are elite numbers, and that's the, you know, he surprises you with that, I think, a little bit. And he's decisive with it. You know, this isn't like it's not a thing where he's hesitant or that kind of stuff. If you if the play's breaking down and he sees the opportunity for yardage, he'll go get a chunk of them. Doesn't do it all the time. Certainly not as prolific, like you mentioned, as Josh Allen, but he is a better athlete than you think. You look at him and you sort of think, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And then he gets out there and you're like, oh, when he gets past you. So just something to keep your eye on. Usually a 3 to 4 time a game, you know, run guy. Maybe a few more if a play breaks down, but they try to get him out there about 3 or 4 times.
How much of this Denver offense right now, does it feel like pieces are coming together and peaking at the right time? Of course, you want to play your best football this time of year. Feels like the Chiefs with Hollywood Brown coming back and just piecing that together, they've looked better. Has Denver had a similar fate with Mims and Vele? Like, all of a sudden, I'm seeing more names with big highlights than it was earlier in the season.
Well, that is true. I don't know if peaking at the right time is exactly the right phrase, so much as it is Sean Payton putting his ego aside and playing his best players. You know, we spent the first half of the season with Marvin Mims in the doghouse for no reason, and for some reason continuing to throw at the wildly inefficient Troy Franklin and little Jordan Humphrey. Now we're starting to see them get to the better players, the Devon Vele and Marvin Mims, who's by far the Broncos' best weapon and most explosive player. And you've certainly seen that the last couple of weeks. Vele's probably taking over for Cortland Sutton next year. You know, he gets a lot of the third down work and sort of more of a Tim Patrick role right now, although it'll be that Cortland Sutton role probably next year. And then, of course, you still got Cortland Sutton, who's a decent X receiver and plays well. The problem for the Broncos in the offense is twofold. One, you get no playmaking ability out of the tight end. And two, you've got a running back room that's just kind of a mess and they can't figure it out. You know, McLaughlin is the most explosive back, but he's a bit diminutive there in his size and not really an every down guy. So, you know, those are really the problems. They've got a pretty deep receiving core, but it's, you know, it's everywhere. And that great offensive line, it's everywhere else that's the problem.
Ben Albright, KOA in Denver. In terms of the Broncos, kind of the vibe there, especially for the fans, Ben, like, here everyone's kind of on edge because, like, all right, it's time to do it already. Is it more, I don't know, what is it? Is it playing with foul money a little bit because Not even necessarily that, like, they lucked in, just that the team hasn't been in the playoffs in so long and the opponent is so tough that maybe anything feels like a win after this week.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because the last time that we were doing playoff interviews here, I did it by telegraph. It feels like here in Denver. So, no, it's been a while, almost a decade. I mean, Super Bowl 50 was the last time they were in the playoffs. So there's a sense of playing with house money. I don't think the fan base is expecting a win here. If they get one, they'd be certainly be enthusiastic about it. But I don't think the fan base here in Denver is expecting a win by any stretch. They're just happy to be here for the first time in a decade. I think the countdown or the clock on, you know, playoff success would start next year. You know, year two of Bo Nix, year three of Sean Payton. You know, this year you needed the last game of the season to even get in after choking the two games before that away with some weird clock management from the head coach. So The fan base, I think they're excited. They're just excited to be here, and that's okay. I mean, for your first trip back in a decade, it's okay to be excited just to be here. But I think next year is when the countdown really starts.
One last thing on, you know, if they were to win, they'd go to Kansas City and they'd give it a chance. They would have a chance, the Broncos would. I'm not picking this. To prove whether or not they can match up with the Chiefs, because I know they beat them 38-0 in a game the Chiefs didn't really need at all and didn't play any starters. But the first matchup between those two was a tight game that many feel like the Broncos should have won. And I almost feel like even though, you know, we chalk it up as like don't count that last Chiefs-Broncos game as anything, to me there's a little bit of a benefit there for the Chiefs because they didn't have to play one of their toughest opponents that they played this year. And I don't know. Would you give Denver a chance to take out Kansas City if they were to play again?
Well, I think Denver matches up better with Kansas City. You know, Kansas City has a history of Pat Mahomes, this high-flying offense, but they're not really that anymore. Kansas City's a defensive football team these days. It's a good defense, you know, led by Chris Jones, but they're a defensive football team that just finds ways to try to make plays on third down between, you know, Mahomes and Kelce. Mahomes is still a very good quarterback, don't get me wrong, but hardly as prolific as he was 3 years ago when the offense had better skill position players across the board. And, you know, I think their offense is smarter now. It's older and smarter, but it's really more of a run-based offense with the 1-2 punch of Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. And so, you know, it's just a different team than I think the attitude is. The Broncos win at Arrowhead, should have won that game by all rights. They took that last-second game-ending blocking field goal in order for Kansas City to win at Arrowhead. I think the Broncos match up better with the Chiefs than they do with Buffalo, and I think if they find a way to get past Buffalo, I would be more confident in a victory over Kansas City at Arrowhead than I would before going into Buffalo in an early game on the East Coast and getting a win against you guys.
All right. Benjamin Albright with us. Last thing for you, Ben, because I know you're plugged in around the league also. With the coach cycle going the way it's going, the only five openings that there are, do you feel like there's a good chance or maybe less of a chance that Joe Brady would get poached from the Bills staff?
I don't believe he will be. I think his best shot would be the job in New Orleans, which I think is going to go to Aaron Glenn, but we'll see. The one thing that I would say to keep your eye on is there may be a job opening up. There may be a sixth job that opens up next week, the Raiders job. I don't think he's 100% safe there, so keep your eye on that. That one may lead to something like a Joe Brady, depending on how much his namesake, although not relative, Tom Brady, has to have say in that maneuver. So keep your eye on that. I think the job for him, maybe Jacksonville, but New Orleans is probably the two that you'd have to be concerned about, and I think New Orleans is going Aaron Glenn.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Take care.
Enjoy the game. Benjamin Albright on the Broncos, NFL Insider on the Broncos and other things. You know, he makes the joke about, like, would Tom Brady hire Joe Brady? And I would say, definitely no. He would say no.
Really?
I'm Brady. That's it. I don't want confusion around here over who's who.
Would New England not hire him because his name's Brady?
That's funny.
But it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Like, we have a Brady. You can't be Brady. Yeah.
Speaking of the other Brady, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady. Andrew Marchand of The Athletic is among one of many predicting that Brady will be done in the booth after this year.
Come on.
Yeah.
One and done? Does he still get the whole $300 million? No way, right? One and done?
Here's what he wrote.
I mean, he probably should be.
I've previously said I'd put big money down. Brady will not finish his 10-year, $375 million contract with Fox, given all his other interests. That remains true. The safer prediction will be that Brady walks away from his Fox deal after 3 or 4 years, but I'm going bold in saying Brady gets deeper involved with the Raiders in the offseason and goes all in with ownership and production by his production company by the start of next season. He'll be out. Which makes total sense.
It does.
He never really wanted to do this until everybody else started doing it, and then he decided, like, oh, I got to do that too. He doesn't want to do this.
Is he going to like the idea, though, of, like, I quit, like, that he quit something, you know?
No.
Because he's so in his head about, like, you got to give it your all and everything.
He's an NFL owner.
But he's, right. Even though he's both right now.
Yeah. All right, Extendo Sports and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up as we close in on Bills Broncos Sunday, 1 o'clock. Of course, the college football playoff starts Thursday.
I know Thursday is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So
Notre Dame, Penn State.
And Penn State.
Not bad. What a weekend we've got ahead of us. All right, now we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, just real big games. Good times. All right, Extendo Sports coming up.